Hey there, you're listening to Your Life is Awesome, brought to you by Enjoy Toys, featuring true life stories about sex told by audience members at Smut Slams around the world. Smut Slam is a growing network of dirty storytelling shows founded in 2011 by me, Cameron Moore. We do our best to keep Smut Slam safe, but safe doesn't mean G-rated. Some of these stories are explicit as fuck. If you're not into that, now is a good time to get out. Otherwise, enjoy the show. Hey there, and welcome to Your Life is Awesome, a podcast featuring stories from Smut Slam, the sex-positive community storytelling show that happens all over the world. Basically, the formula is super simple. People just sign up to tell stories at the door. We don't bring in any outside performers. It's just audience members who are either really exhibitionists or really are moved to share their own personal stories about sex and sexuality. I know it sounds kind of chaotic, but if you want to know how we create a safer space at our shows, you can read our full code of conduct. That's at smutslam.com at code of conduct. Yes, it's a magical alchemy. I don't know how it happens, but we make it work. The episode you're going to be listening to right now was recorded in Cardiff in April 2023. The theme was firsts. My basic premise on firsts as a theme is like it's one that I go to when I bring shows back to a city after a long time, or when I'm starting one for the first time there, because sometimes people have a hard time thinking of stories, and everyone who has a sex life or is trying to have one usually has some firsts to share. So it's a really fruitful sort of theme, and I love what comes out. There are, oddly enough, at this particular slam, there are a lot of relatives in the audience that the tellers that are telling the stories are kind of addressing. So I remember this and going, wow, I would not do that with my own family. But there you have it. These folks were there, and gotta love those supportive families. There were also just a content notes. There's lots of injuries in this particular episode and a moment of discussing throwing up. So just so you know, that's what's going on there. It's first, you know, things happen first time out. In between stories, you're going to get fuck buckets, which are my attempts to answer or just share anonymous questions or confessions that people in the audience put in a bucket. That's the fuck bucket. It is wild. So brace yourself, strap in, and I will see you on the other side.
Oh, no.
I blew my boyfriend and had a load in my gob when my mom walked into the kitchen. I kept it in my mouth because it tasted horrible, but I kissed my mom on the cheek. Honestly, I don't have to do any work at this show sometimes. You people just fucking bringing it, okay? We're going to do one more, and then we're going to start on those stories, because we have a bucket load of those. Leaving my husband to live my polyamorous and kinky life was the best thing I have ever done. I feel like that's redundant. Clearly their life is awesome now, right? Yeah, for sure. Holy shit. Okay.
So I thought that I would talk about the first and last time that I vomited during sex. Oh. Trigger warning, lots of vomits. So the year was 2012. For some reason, we collectively decided that we were going to stop Coney in 2012. I don't really know what happened to that guy, but that's not really part of my story. I'm just trying to set the scene. So I'm at uni. It's second year of uni 2012. Now that I'm telling this story, I look around and I realise, I think, how many people went to uni with me that are now going to hear this story for the first time, which is great. So it was my friend Lauren Chaplin's birthday, December. I'm wearing, if you can like imagine, kind of like 2012 fashion, like black sort of like bodycon skirt with like ripped tights on purpose, because it's like, oh, I'm so fucking alternative, and like big boots. And you know, everyone was obsessed with like skeleton stuff, so I was wearing like a skeleton top that had skeleton hands that like came over the boobs. So, cheeky. And as all good nights start or end or whatever, and I don't want to play to the crowd, but we went to Live Lounge. So glad that no one said your life is awesome, because no one has ever said that to anyone that went to Live Lounge. So it's 2012, we're having a great time at Live Lounge. We have so many undiagnosed mental illnesses, but we just don't care, because you got jugs of wine that cost like a pound, and like everything's great. Anyway, me and this guy, you know, we connect, we have a great time, you know, go back to my house or whatever. Next thing I kind of like remember, you know, we're upstairs, we're getting hot and heavy in my shared 6-bed house at uni, that I'm in the attic room, so you have to climb every single fucking stairs to get there, so there's no way that you can do it subtly. And I've decided that apparently the sexiest thing that I can do is just scream, just like scream really loudly all the time, just like, oh yeah, oh so good, oh my god, you're so big, oh great, yeah. And then I decide to get on top. Everything's going great, but then the motion, much like the train, I feel, suddenly is very much not playing in my favour. And it's going, but there are some other things that are going at the same time. And then the next thing I know, it's oh yeah, oh yeah. over the side of the bed, but still it's during, it's blah blah blah. Oh my god, this guy is like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine, don't worry. And then this guy, who is now suddenly the nicest man in the world, he's like, are you okay? Like, do you need me to do anything for you? Like, can I help you at all? In my mind, in my embarrassed, horribly drunk mind, I've decided that he's the worst person I've ever met in my life, and this is all his fault. And I shout at him, like, you get out of my house! Get out of my house! I'm like completely naked, screaming at him, get out! Don't look at me! Why are you looking at me? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Get out of my house! Like, why are you here? And I march him down the 3 flights of stairs in my house, because I'm in the attic room of a student house, completely naked. Get out of my house! I don't want to see you again. Continual. Wake up the next morning to a text from my housemate downstairs saying, so it sounded like you had a lot of fun last night. and then just to top it all off, my friend messages me the next day, hey, is everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I might need to go and get the morning after pill in Boots, just because, you know, whatever. And she went, I'll tell you, from McDonald's as well.
I did warn you that awkward plays really, really well. That's terrifying. Terrifying. First joyful sex for the first time in my life, having recovered from an eating disorder and learning to love my bigger body. I'm loving sharing it, and with someone who reminds me how gorgeous my bigger body is. It feels fucking great.
Your life is awesome.
Everyone can have that, you know? Everyone can have that good feeling in your own skin. Congrats to whoever wrote that. Takes work sometimes.
I graduated in a year too long ago, I don't want to remember what it was, but I moved back in with my parents, and so obviously I was a bit maybe more sexually active while I was at uni and had my own room to do it in, but when I'm living in a small house with both my parents and my younger brother, that stuff's not happening quite so much. So a couple of years after that, me and my best mate went backpacking, and we both had it in the back of our heads, you know, like, we've been at home for a few years, this is our time finally to get back out there and meet some gorgeous humans and finally just, like, fucking have someone touch you again. So I'm in this party in Thailand somewhere, and I get chatting to this bloke, and we end up making out, and, like, he awkwardly fingers me behind a toilet. But then I go home and I'm like, oh, that's a shame, you know, maybe next time. But then a few weeks later, because I don't know if anyone else here has also been like a tragic backpacker and had like a gap 3 months and gone to Southeast Asia, you meet the same people every time. You're all doing the exact same route. So then I'm at a party in Cambodia and I meet this exact same guy. And I'm like, fucking finally, yes, I've got previous, I can do this. We go back to our hostel and my best friend just takes me aside and is like, we're in quite a big dorm room and you are the bunk above me. You fucking dare have sex in the same bunk as me. I will never talk to you again. And I was like, fair enough. So I decide the best alternative location is it's not a balcony per se. It's more like the corridor just doesn't really have a ceiling anymore. And you're outdoors and everyone else's dorm is off this sort of corridor without a ceiling. And I'm like, this is totally private and cool. This is fine. A bit of context as well is at the time I was quite heavily involved in the Green Party. I used to stand for election and stuff, so that was my big pickup line. I was like, I'm really actually quite politically active. Like, it's so cute. And I have this memory of like shagging this guy, him finishing, pulling out, looking down at me and going, oh, I would definitely vote for you after that. Like, if you like my vagina, you wait till you hear about my social housing policy. So we get cleaned up. Like, he has to be up at like 3 a.m. to go and see Angkor Wat or do something like very beautiful and cultural and find himself. And just as he's putting his trousers on, a string of people walk down the corridor who've clearly been waiting for some time to get to their dorm room, politely just shuffle through. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to know if anybody else in here has an alternate world CV, like a resume full of stuff that you could never actually submit to a job. But that if this were a just and fair world, you would be able to submit to other people and say, like, I had someone, I'd vote for you after that. Put that on the resume. Or nicknames or pet names that someone has called you after sex. And like, yeah, like lumberjack, right? Nobody? No? Now you're going to want to start doing that. Start collecting those things. Okay. Let's, we got Buck Bucket filling up. Buck Bucket is filling up. Okay. I feel like this is a very niche audience, but the people who will appreciate it. Okay. Almost a strict bottom, but the top shortage is so bad. Ooh. Maybe it's not that niche. Ooh, you're all so sophisticated. All right. But the top shortage is so bad that whenever I drop a toppy thirst trap, the gays go absolutely feral. Fellow bottoms, we have to find some dignity. Not nearly as niche as I thought, okay. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Oh God. I accidentally used seaweed scrub from the body shop as lube. My vagina was frothing for days. Ah. I love to hear like actual shrieks in the audience. It's like the depth of the horror is like as deep as your vagina, but okay. I've never had a boss I haven't dreamt about fucking, with the exception of the two previous bosses I have fucked. Working 9 to 5, what a, yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right.
So I want to give some context first that I'm here with my lovely husband and my stepson. You're going to learn a lot today. I am going to tell a not-so-classic losing of virginity story. So, obviously, I was sort of 16 years old, and I was doing some work experience in Parliament. So, yeah. And I found out very early that I was into older men. My husband here is 20 years older than me. And I was really, really into my boss. That wasn't my thing earlier. And I was really, really into him, and he was about sort of 10 or 15 years older than me, but that didn't matter. And I thought at 16 that I was the sexiest thing on the planet in my, like, Primark two-piece, you know, underwear. So anyway, we'd kind of, like, been flirting for a long time, and there'd been some suggestive behaviour. And eventually he said, should we go out for dinner? So we went out for dinner just to talk about work. And he said, have you ever been up Big Ben? His name was Ben. But he was actually talking about Big Ben. So I said no. I thought it was off, you know, off the, you know, to the public. And he said, well, we could go up there if you want. And I thought, yes, this is it. Let's go. So I kind of knew it was coming. So a couple of nights later, he sneaked me in. But we had to get up 7 flights of stairs. That was exhausting, as you can imagine. We had to then do the deed very quickly between the bongs. And yeah, so it's not that like romantic story that you've got of like candles and, you know, wine and so on. What it was me getting railed against a rail while looking at Big Ben, the clock itself, the Elizabeth clock or whatever it's called. And one, I was leaning so far against a like literal rail, that's where I found out I was into choking. And so yeah, I was sort of bent over the rail, if you like, and he'd undone my bra very ningily, and it kind of slipped down my arms, and I lost it over the balcony, and it fell probably 6 stories into the cogs of Big Ben. So if you want to know why Big Ben didn't chime on the 17th of May 2007, it was because my bra got stuck. My...
See, I thought that was going to be another pegging story. Amazing. Sometimes because my sack is so low. I pull it over my cock like a little Jedi hood. Yeah.
Okay, this is my story of my first sex injury. Yay! So, perfect age for it, 16. So my girlfriend of the time had been awake 2 weeks on a cruise with her grandparents. So when she got back, obviously, that's the time to get hot and steamy. But at the time, I had to share a bedroom with my brother, who was a year older. And he decided he was not going to vacate the bedroom. So that left me with the sofa downstairs. So we were 16, we weren't quite ready to go all the way, so we were dry humping. And of course, I understood the appropriate wear for that was jeans. Snort. And she was also wearing jeans. So we're making out, we're getting hot and heavy in an appropriate 16 way. And at one point I've noticed, oh, I'm feeling a bit wet down there. Have I come my pants? What's happening? So I go upstairs to the bathroom to see. I put my hand in my pants, blood. Now, my reaction is panic, which probably the way to go. So what do? I go into the room of my older brother, look at the blood that has pooled outside of my jeans, look at him, faint. So I come to after a little faint. He's giving me a tea towel. Great first days. I kind of figure out what's going on. I change clothes, I go downstairs, I explain to my girlfriend. We stop doing stuff. I bleed for a second pair of clothes, I go for change again. Yeah, basically, I don't know what it's actually medically called, but I snapped my banjo string. Yeah. But what makes this the best story is, I'm 16, I don't do my own laundry. I'm not a good son. And we have a hamper, so I put my bloody clothes in the hamper. My mum comes home. What did you do? Why are your clothes covered in blood? And I've never been so glad I tried to take up skateboarding in my life that when I told my mum, I fell off the skateboard. She didn't ask why it was two pairs of clothes. Me and my brother have never discussed this again. We've all gone down in this, and this is years strong as a family unit. Never talking about it again. Thank you.
It's called a frenulum, actually. The frenulum, if you want the medical term. The doctors don't say banjo string. And it's not their business to be cute about blood coming out of your penis. So it's called a frenulum. I'm so terrified by how many stories I hear about someone snapping their frenulum. It's a common injury. I feel like it's maybe not covered in sex ed enough. Also, though, like the way you started your story makes me think that it was the first time you were injured, but there were subsequent injuries. So at a future slam, maybe we'll get some theme that feeds into it, and we can find out how else you've hurt yourself fucking.
What?
Oh my God. I, a gay male, once got with a straight man and agreed to give him a blowjob. Later on, a few weeks later, I ended up being approached by his straight brother, who I agreed to give a handjob to, only for him to say, "You gave my brother a blowjob, why not me?" I happily agreed, sibling rivalry at its best. Am I the only one who thinks that might be some kind of setup overall? Some kind of like thing that they've done for a while now? Yeah, let's pretend that we're straight. And be jealous about it. And then we both get blowjobs. Cool.
Thank you. So, before I start my story, I'm literally just going to apologise for two people really quickly. So, one being my mum is in the audience. And secondly, one of my bosses is in the audience as well. So, yeah. Anyway, so this is going to be a really quick story. So, this is a story about how I was cancelled for the first time being cancelled. During sex. Kind of like skipping a little bit, so went through a little bit of a bad time, and then I started on antidepressants. I'm not anymore, so anyway, cool. So I was a student, and then, so I was a student nurse back in the day, and then casually just kind of lying there on my bed. And what do you do as a student? You're going to go on the yellow Facebook, which is Grindr, yes! So, lying there, find this really hot guy, comes over, and I didn't know back then that when you're on antidepressants, it does really lower your libido. So, I'm lying there, and this guy's giving me a blowjob, and nothing is happening. Nothing at all. Completely limp. I know, sad, right. Because in my mind, and in like this area, I was super horny, but it just wasn't raising up for me. So I'm lying there, and all of a sudden, he just kind of looks up and says, "You're on antidepressants, aren't you?" And I was like, mind blown. So, yeah, it just kind of killed the moment a little bit for me. So I thought, yeah, okay. So he's carrying on, and I think, okay, in a couple of seconds, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, his hand is still there, going up and down, and he's like, okay, so I'm guessing you're on sertraline. So how do you feel like we can work through this? And I'm just led there like, this is really not happening to me, like right now. All I want, I was a 20-year-old boy at the time. I just wanted a really quick hookup on Grindr. Clearly wasn't happening. And then right at the end of it, I was like, okay, right, mate, we're going to have to stop now. And he was like, you know, are you just not attracted to me? Or, and I know, it's a bit sad because he was really hot at the time. So, but I say at the time, whatever. So anyway, yeah, and then it turns out he is, well, he still is, he was actually a mental health nurse practitioner, so really great, really great.
I feel like you missed it. Like, knowing how difficult it is to get mental health care in most... I feel like you missed a chance to get set up for life on that one. Okay, I'm going to read it, but I feel like I know whose it is. No, maybe not. I have been sexually active for over a decade, but it's the first year I am having sex without antidepressants or hormonal contraception. I feel like I don't recognize my body in very good and bad ways. Yeah. It's okay, right? Like, it's really easy to trash like medicine. Like, it's really easy to be like, antidepressants holds my libido down, hormonal stuff, oh, it makes me feel weird in my body. But sometimes those things are important, and then you just got to find your way around it. It's a tough one. I'm glad this person is doing well, but also maybe not doing well. So, you know, props to you. Oh no. Okay. At first, I couldn't tell who the pronoun was directing to. You'll see what I mean in a second. My ex's dad walked in as he was coming under the blanket, and he had a conversation with us completely unaware. So I first read that as like the dad walked in while coming. And he wasn't aware that he was coming. And we were under the blanket, and it all got very awkward. That's how I read that. So I get that, like, when we're talking about, like, we're relating our own anecdotes, we're talking about, like, he being the person that they're with. But, like, you got to be careful when you got multiple he's happening in the... Because dads should not be doing that. I don't care how old you are. Okay. Fuck it. Why? Oh, okay. I used to think I had to be either single and kinky or monogamous and vanilla. I met my now partner because he was going to join me in a threesome, and now I'm in a kinky, potentially swingy, sexually open relationship that lets every part of me sing. And lots of your life is awesome out there. That's cool. Fuck it. Wow. This is just like boom, boom, boom. Okay. I met my first FetLife date, Chunky Ruggers Boy. Is that rugby, is it?
Yeah.
Boy is spelled with an I, if that makes a difference to people. It's a lifestyle. I'm not going to... Fulfilled my teenage dreams, fucking love men's calves. He asked me to dominate him, so he stripped for me and got on his knees in the graveyard by the infirmary. That just sounds like, a very niche but super good time. Although everyone seemed to know about the graveyard, so maybe that's not niche either. All right.
The ADHD impulsivity is fucking me right now. I don't barely know what I'm going to say. It's a story about my first girlfriend. This is a story about the first time my subby ass self tried to be a dom because I loved her. Because I loved her. Yeah, okay. So I did my research. I did my homework. I have ADHD. I fucking hyperfixated. How to be a good dom. How do I do this? There were listicles. There were Excel spreadsheets. There were graphs. It was a work of art. There were contingencies. There were backup plans. It's like, let's go. Let's go. So she comes over. I got some rope. I got a new collar. I got a list of punishments. I got a list of her kinks. And also some maybes. Spice it up. She didn't know. She was... So I tied her up. I did my homework. I did loads of YouTube videos. It was great. Tied her up. She was loving it. Put little bells all over it. She had to stay still. And it's like... Don't you fucking move, because then I get to do the punishments, and oh no. It was going really well, and we were in a triad at the time, so I was like, I didn't need to, like, edge her until our boyfriend gets home, so he can take over and it'll be fine. So I was just like, let's go, I can do this, it's gonna be fine. So, you know, she's having a good time, presumably. She looks like she's having a good time, so I'm like, this is great. He comes home. I haven't misjudged the time too badly, so I'm like, cool. Everything's on track. Everything's working. The spreadsheets worked. Like, I'm so happy. It's fine. It's going great. He comes, starts fucking her, because I'm like, I don't want to do the messy stuff. I just want to do the logistics. I'll just admin. I'll manage it. It's fine. So... She's getting louder and loud, very loud. I'm like, this is a flat in the middle of the day. I don't know if we can, like, do, but I don't know. It's fine. She's making these, like, noises I've never heard before. I'm like, there's so much noise. Is this normal? Is this okay? Is this fine? Like, maybe? Like, what's the difference between, like, a happy sex face and a pain face? I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm freaking out. Now, I've run out of spreadsheet stuff. My boyfriend's taken over. I don't know the plan. I'm like, she's like the crescendo, the noise. I'm like, I gotta pull the plug. I'm gonna pull the plug. I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, stop. Red, we're stopping. It's fine. Like, stroke her hair. I'm like, it's okay. I promise it's okay. Everything's fine. Everyone's fine. She's like, trembling. I'm trembling. My boyfriend's like looking blue balled in the corner. And then, like, we all come back to, like, a level of heartbeats slow down. Everything's fine. Cuddling, aftercare, beautiful. And she just, like, looks up at me, little eyelashes, little collar, fucking cute. And she's like, I don't think we put orgasm denial on the list.
Gotta leave him wanting a little more. Gotta leave him wanting a little more. I once had anal, but the one toilet in the house was occupied by a 30-minute showerer. So I walked the 10-minute walk home through, is this pronounced Roth? I walked the 10-minute walk home through Roth. No one's correcting me, okay? At 2 p.m. to poop out the cum. Clenching my butt cheeks the whole way. Keep it in. Don't want to leave a trail of glory all the way through Roth. Oh my God, what? Okay, I try not to be judgy, but sometimes I am judgy, occasionally. I hope you'll join me in it. I was in a lesbian relationship in which she only had cisgender dick and said lesbian sex was a sin from God. Yes. Clearly, lesbian sex is a gift from the devil. So, like, I don't, like... Fuck it. I met my girlfriend after I hooked up with her mother. It's like Pringles. This shit is like Pringles. I've been fucking one of my housemates in secret for a month now, and the other housemates still don't know. I'd be willing to bet that they do. You don't share a house, you know, or maybe they don't know what's going on, but they just know, like the TP's going through a lot faster than normal. The bog roll's getting finished. Yeah, thank you.
I don't know what to tell you. Every Smut Slam is truly a magical, magical time. thank you so much for listening to Your Life is Awesome. I want to specifically give a couple of thank yous for this particular episode. Thank you, of course, to Duncan Hallis, who is my co-producer there in Cardiff, and also our venue there, the Wales Millennium Center. We get the little cabaret space on the side, but it still feels pretty majestic to walk up to that venue every fucking time. If you want to get more like extended episodes, if you want to hear a little bit more from this episode, if you want early release episodes, you should definitely become a patron of ours over on Patreon. You just look up Your Life is Awesome and join us for as little as €2 a month. Your support helps keep us editing and operating and collecting and recording all the little bits of nitty gritty that make a podcast amazing. So please join us over on the Patreon. If you are around and about and you think, yeah, there might be a Smut Slam coming, I don't know. Let me tell you where Smut Slam is happening in the next few weeks. Coming March 12th in Copenhagen. We are also doing Barcelona March 14th. And on March 15th, we're launching a new slam. Well, I don't know if we say launching a new, we're trying it out, all right? Diva Darling is bringing Smut Slam to Baltimore in the States. And March 18th, we've got Berlin, which is where I personally am based. So it's always a good time, March 18th. On March 20th, Didi Brazier is starting her kind of Western Canada mini tour that she does every quarter, I think. March 20th, it's Winnipeg. March 26th, it's Vancouver. And on the 27th, she's going to be in Victoria. I want to mention also, I'm going to be in Leipzig on March 26th. So that is a full rest of March for you. If you're in those locations, just come check out our page, our directory or event page on smutslam.com. There you're going to find all the ticket links. And if you're not in that area and you'd really like to hear more from Smut Slam, first of all, you can always write us and say, hey, can you bring Smut Slam to my city? It's possible. Weirder things have happened. Or just keep on listening. Subscribe to Your Life is Awesome. Make sure you're in line to get us whenever we upload a new episode. Let your friends know about it. That is the best way to thank us for doing God's work with Smut Slam. If you want to see other shows by me, I don't have anything coming up right now, but I am making plans for the fall. So you can follow me on Facebook, on Instagram, just Cameron Moore. Just look for me here. That's it for now. I hope you're having a great spring wherever you are and whatever that means for you in terms of temperature changes. Stay warm or stay cool or just stay well, all right? We love you here and we want you to have a great old time. So just keep on keeping on. And remember, your life is awesome.
This has been Your Life is Awesome, a story podcast from Smut Slam with Cameron Moore. Produced by me, Mark Seestedt. Music by Sticky Biscuits. A huge thank you to all storytellers featured. All stories are being shared with permission. Thanks also to Enjoy Toys, makers of deluxe stainless steel instruments of pleasure, for continually supporting Smut Slam. Find them at enjoytoys.com. If you want to help us make more of these, plus get access to longer episodes and other bonus material, please join our Patreon at patreon.com. Your life is awesome. If that's not in the cards right now, you can also help by rating and reviewing this show. Look for that option in your podcast app. We might read out some reviews on a future episode. Got a question for Cameron? Write or send a voice recording to smutslampodcast@gmail.com. This too might be featured on the podcast. And if you want to find out more about Smut Slam and the code of conduct we use in the shows, go to smutslam.com. All links mentioned can be found in the podcast info. Thanks for listening.